Hi everyone, this is Janice, your neighborhood nutritionist. I've spent the last couple of years helping busy office professionals upgrade their health through upgrading their nutrition. And one thing was very obvious. Nobody's got time to read up on all the scientific stuff to know fact from fiction. So each week, I will talk to you about a different topic or concept in nutrition in simple, everyday terms, so you are empowered to make the best nutritional decisions. Get ready to learn about some new stuff, gain new insights into old concepts, and super boost your health. Hey everyone, so today I'm delighted to have Anna here, and we're going to talk about psychology around dieting and our health. So Anna, welcome to my podcast, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Janice, for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So as always, you know, with all my guests, I'd like to invite you to tell us a bit about yourself and why you're here today.
Yes, well, first of all, let me just say it's really, I've listened to your podcast and I really love the topics that you're sharing with your audience.
Thank you.
And I hope that they will enjoy this one as well. I am the founder of Balanced by Anna. I founded this company almost 7 years ago. And my mission is truly to help women reach their health goals by assessing the psyche behind the weight loss, underlying issues before we tackle the transformation and reaching those goals. I have a master's degree in psychology and I'm a certified wellness coach. And at this moment, I have worked with women, all ranges, ages, men also, and kids. So my mission is to really focus first on what's within you before we start talking, why do you want to lose weight or change the way your body looks at a specific time?
Thank you. I mean, totally align with you on that. I always say that, you know, when you have someone who's a nutritionist or a nutrition coach, it's not really just the information, right? You can Google those things, right? It's the fact that we are helping you have a change on the inside, right? Whether it's identifying what health means to you, you know, because even for a definition of health, I think it's very easy for us to follow whatever is the most trendy.
Absolutely.
Right. So maybe, you know, in ancient China, it was absolutely on trend for people to be really like round and plump, you know, because that signified wealth and, you know, the fact that you didn't need to move really. But then suddenly, you know, looking at films, maybe from the 60s, 70s, everybody was stick thin.
Right.
And now it's all about having muscles, you know, so it's really easy to fall into that trap, right, of thinking that's what a picture of health looks like, but it could be different for everybody. So on the topic of psychology, we hear so much about mindset is everything,
right?
Especially in the recent years, I think you get a lot of mindset coaches and all of these things. But in your opinion, how important is mindset? You know, what are we talking when we say mindset in terms of our health journeys?
I think mindset truly is the beginning. It's everything. As humans, we tend to look towards our goals in a quite negative way. The expression, I'll believe it when I see it, is exactly that. So we set certain goals, but we don't have the growth mindset, the success mindset to reach those goals. So to be very clear for your audience, we have in psychology growth and fixed mindset. Fixed mindset is I'm predestined to be fat. I will never lose this weight. I have tried so many times and I failed over and over again. So that's a fixed mindset, right? So you're stuck basically where you are. Growth mindset, which is what we are trying to, all these coaches and myself included, what I try to teach my clients is it's the mindset that this is what's going to turn your thoughts into emotions and into actions. So I can do this. Yes, it's going to be hard, but, and yes, there are going to be hurdles, but I will be able to reach my goals. It's not such an easy journey, of course, but you want to go from I'll believe it when I see it to I'll see it when I believe it. Because you have to believe that your goals are attainable. And that's why when you're setting your goals, they have to be, you know, very specific, very attainable. You need to know what you can achieve in a certain period of time in order to not be disappointed at the end of the day. So I think that this kind of mindset, success or growth mindset, is actually what's fueling your energy and the actions that you need to take. And I think that in the concept of mindset, we have a couple of things that are important. How do we change this mindset, right? Like, how do we start? Where do we start from? First of all, is the language that we use. The can't. I'm not allowed to be happy. I'm not worthy of, you know, feeling great in my body. Like, that's the negative language that we want to remove and replace it with something more positive. But also, on the other hand, removing the negative language of other people that might be sabotaging our, you know, goals. Like, oh, you have tried every diet already. Are you again on a diet? You know, why do you keep doing this to yourself? Like, understanding that this kind of language that comes from other people is usually their own fears, their own projections that they are putting on you. It has really nothing to do with you. So one is the language. Second is understanding that any kind of journey is not linear all the time. So your mindset isn't like, okay, I'm doing this and it's going to be great day in and day out. No, like, it's going to be with setbacks, and then you start again and setback and again, because that's how we are wired. Any progress has its, you know, ups and downs, which is kind of normal. And you also learn quite a bit from your setbacks. And I would say the third thing about the mindset, which is kind of important, is this all or nothing mindset. That's not growth mindset. You know, all or nothing mindset, beating yourself up when there is a setback and self-sabotaging yourself, is not growth mindset. Understanding that this will happen and that you can learn something from it, that's growth mindset. So something happened, there was a trigger, I didn't plan what I wanted to do. What can I learn from this and start tomorrow again? Because I'm worthy of these goals. So I would say, before we talk about strategy and discipline and, you know, plan, mindset is actually key. Because another thing that happens very often is that you have a lot of these thoughts going on in your head, negative thoughts that, for example, I lost 3 pounds, but I have 25 more to go, you know, or, oh yeah, my God, I have 30 pounds to go. Like, that's this exaggeration, you know, or you have also the option where people will say, I am waiting until I fail. It's just the beginning. All of these things are distracting you from reaching your goals. So I would say that if you want to start with some plan, besides knowing your why you're doing this, you should work as much as possible on the mindset, this growth success mindset. Yes.
Thank you. That was a really good explanation. And I love what you said about this journey is not linear, right? I keep telling even my clients that, hey, you look at me, you think I've got it all together. I don't.
No.
Like, my path was not straight. And I do have times where I feel like, you know, I'm going to crave certain things and I'm going to have it, right? And
right. And
trust me, there is no nutritionist, coach, personal trainer out there who eats perfectly every day.
No,
right?
No way.
It doesn't absolutely happen. And with this idea that the journey isn't linear, I'd like to encourage people that you might think that you've taken a step back, but because this is not linear, any step is a step forward.
Absolutely.
In my mind. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned discipline just now. I know that this is something, you know, discipline and self-control. This mm-hmm. is something I hear so often, right? That, mm-hmm. oh, I don't have discipline. I've never had self-control. Mm-hmm. And I always say to people, do you remember that day when you were out for a drink? You got quite drunk. You had a hangover the next day, but you still got up and went to work.
Right.
Or you stayed up late because of whatever reason and you got up to feed your kids. Mm-hmm. So you do have discipline.
Yes.
Right? As long as something is important enough, you do have it. So again, with your background in psychology, can you explain to us, maybe to start with, what is discipline? Mm-hmm. Does it really, is it nature, nurture? Is it something we can learn?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important to distinguish discipline and self-discipline. Discipline is something which is ruled by external laws. Okay, so you have to be disciplined to, you know, respect the laws in the country where you live. Mm-hmm. And you respect those because there is fear. What happens if you don't? And punishment if you don't. So in that sense, being disciplined to, you know, pay your taxes or, you know, cross the street on the green light, and, you know, that's a different thing. Self-discipline is something where internally you have created your own laws. So you are your own authority and you don't use fear. You're self-governed. So the ability to discipline yourself, to delay any gratification in the short term in order to enjoy rewards later on in the long term, is actually a prerequisite for success. Because you are going to be able to have the inner strength and let go of any harmful habits that will prevent you from reaching your goals. So the discipline is something that is, the self-discipline, sorry, is something that is in us, is something where we create our own rules. That's why you have your ways and I have my ways, and there is no fear and there is no punishment, because no one will do anything to me if I don't do what I have set up to do. However, what's important with self-discipline is that it's very hard to teach. It's something that you cannot enforce on anyone. It can be encouraged from a very young age, but it's not something that you can enforce. And I think what's very important to understand is that how do you teach self-discipline? Self-discipline, it means that you explain to someone from a very young age or when you're coaching that you are actually responsible for your actions, how they affect you, your choices, and other people. So it's something that you can only practice by being consistent with the choices that you made. That's why when someone comes to me and says, I'll just wait until I'm motivated to work out, I'm like, that will never happen. I mean, willpower and motivation goes out the window within a week. Like, you are motivated on a Monday morning. By Thursday afternoon, it's like, what plan, what workout, what, you know. It's like you forget, you know, that we even had a conversation about, you know, health eating and so on. Willpower and motivation, I said it once, it's like a good friend, which is so fun, but you cannot count on it.
Yeah.
Discipline, or self-discipline, is something which is consistent, tells you how it is, always there. In order, when you start creating your plan on how you want to, you know, reach certain goals, if we're talking about, you know, weight loss or weight management or fitness maybe goals, you're creating your own rules. The more you're consistent with them, the higher this self-discipline is, and then it becomes eventually a habit. And then you don't even think about it anymore. You know, there is a process behind it.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because a lot of people will say, like, you know, why are you so motivated to, you know, eat clean and everything? I'm like, I'm not motivated.
But you're not.
This is now autopilot for me, because even when I didn't feel like it, I stuck with it.
Right.
Right. And I often encourage my clients, like, trust the process, trust your body.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, on that topic as well, I think, you know, sometimes the idea of being accountable or taking ownership of our own health seems so distant, because we have been, I guess, you know, a lot of people have a luxury of having, you know, good health care or all of these other things that we become almost dependent on. Oh, if I'm sick, is my doctor's responsibility to cure me, to heal me, or is the medicine's responsibility to heal me? But I often say to people, like, but in the first place, if you take full ownership of your own health, that shouldn't happen, right? I mean, people can still get sick, right? There is a transfer of power almost to who we think are professionals. And don't get me wrong, there are absolutely cases where we need medical professionals to help us. Mm-hmm. You know, they do really good work for us. But at a very basic health maintenance level, I think that's where I'm hoping people to improve on, which is to take it back into their own hands.
I agree. I mean, I personally am quite disciplined with my food choices because I want to be in control of my health. This doesn't have to be anything extreme, mm-hmm. but the way I want to move my body and the way I want to feed me or my kids, it's a choice. I'm taking it, it's something that gives me actually quite a bit of power to say that I am in control what kind of foods I eat, how much of it do I eat, you know, what do I consume, what do I drink. Because nowadays, of course, there are a lot of conflicting informations and, you know, you can read about everything and anything. But that's also not so bad. I think that the worst thing is when you say, okay, I don't know what to do, and there's like trust blindly someone. I think that you know best your own body and what suits you and, you know, your family. And I like being in control of what I eat. Of course, it's not 100% because I go out and I go to someone else's place and they cook and, you know, vacation time, and you're not always, you know, cooking yourself and preparing your own meals. But let's say that majority of the time, I prefer to know that like what I have put in my body is feeding me for my health, rather than harming me. So I don't see self-discipline or being prepared as a negative thing. I see mm-hmm. it as a very positive thing, which is what we should kind of all try to thrive to you know, to become when it comes to our health. And it doesn't mean that the person who chooses to go to a doctor for an opinion is lazy mm-hmm. or anything like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But once you get the information from the doctor, see how you can, you know, implement it in your life, with everything that you have been told, with everything that you have read, and then try to make your own puzzle, you know.
Yeah.
This works, this doesn't work, and that's just because no one knows you better than your, you know, you know yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
And you touched on, you know, self-sabotage, I think, mm-hmm. earlier on.
Yeah.
And this is something that I've often wondered, because there's a really great movement in the recent few years about self-love, self-care.
Well,
mm-hmm. And yeah, really doing things that make you happy. Now, I know a lot of people, food is that for them, right? Mm-hmm. A slice of cake, or, you know, some people literally can't stop themselves. They see a bread basket at the restaurant, they all go mm-hmm. eat all the bread or whatever, candy, chocolate, whatever. So, is that self-love or self-sabotage?
Are you trying to break the internet? that's a great question, Janice. I would say, and I'm not being politically correct here, but I would say it a little bit depends on the context. And let me just try to explain where. As an example, we can take the same woman who is eating, you know, let's say relatively clean, whole foods, has a, you know, very stressful day at work, whatever, something happens, she's really annoyed, sad, bothered, then she comes home and now she wants to have some cookie, okay, or ice cream, whatever. I would say that the moment when you are aware and conscious of your choices, when you say, I know that this is probably not the best food, and that food nutritiously is not serving me, but I'm going to allow myself to have this treat, I would say it's self-love. You're enjoying it, you're in the moment, and you can, let's say, stop yourself because, what I was saying in the second scenario, you are present in the moment. You're allowing yourself to enjoy this cookie or whatever it is. On the other hand, which I was guilty of, you know, for some time, is this, I'm sad, I'm stressed and depressed, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to think what's on my mind. I don't want to deal with it. And I'm going to have everything that I want to have tonight, but in such way that I am stuffing myself not to think of how much I am eating. You know, it's this, it's the chips, it's the ice cream, it's the pizza, it's the bread, it's the, you know, the high palatable foods, which are mm-hmm. giving you comfort. But it's eaten in such a way where you have absolutely no control. no control of what you're feeling, no control why you're consuming so much. And the more you eat these, let's say, big amounts, the more you start to feel physically unwell. Then mm-hmm. starts, you know, the shame and the guilt about it. But it's mm-hmm. First of all, physically, you don't feel actually good like in the first case. You're fine, you're digesting, you're enjoying it. Here, there is no enjoyment. Here, it's just let me stuff, and I maybe will deal with it later on. That to me, when it's almost unconscious behavior, when it's almost, I don't want to think about it and I don't want to, you know, assess the situation in a proper way, it can be self-sabotage, especially if from that day you will say, oh, okay, I ruined this day. I might as well tomorrow eat the same way and the day after and the day after, and then I will start from the next Monday.
Then it's there's always...
Yeah,
there's always next Monday
or first of the month. So I would say I like my clients to be very open to introduce the foods that they like on a weekly basis. I don't believe in this, you know, I shouldn't eat sweets or I shouldn't eat this and that, because you will think about this food all the time. Mm-hmm. And the moment you start heavily depriving yourself for weeks and weeks and weeks, it will catch up on a moment where you are stressed and, you know, you haven't planned your day well with eating and now you're starved and you will not go for a broccoli or a carrot. You will mm-hmm. go for anything which is convenient to eat. So in my mind, showing yourself self-love throughout the week is not a bad thing. It's not going to ruin your results. You're not going to spiral out of control because it's not forbidden. And the moment you start forbidding yourself over a longer period of time and saying, no, I actually don't want to have this cookie. I actually don't want to have this ice cream. It's someone else telling me that I'm feeling this urge for these foods. Then you will enter in this binge, unconscious, stuffing yourself to being physically ill. Mm-hmm. And that's self-sabotage for your health. It's not healthy. And there is a very big chance that you will say, first of all, the shame and the guilt will be present in most of the cases. Why did I do this? Your self-worth usually goes down. Man, I'm not worthy of, you know, anything. Look how I'm behaving. And you will start labeling foods. These bad foods did this to me, you know? So that brings you to a very bad relationship with food. Food is good or bad with their nutritional values. But if we're talking about it emotionally, even some naughty food from time to time will not, you know, hurt you physically or health-wise.
Absolutely.
So I would say that if I would ever encourage someone to, you know, if someone wants to lose weight, I would always focus on treats that will help you, you know, manage all of that.
So you mentioned some triggers of self-sabotage, right? You know, we all have that one day where all the stars align, all the bad things happen, and you are tired and stressed, and maybe your normal support network, your people are not picking up the phone. You know, we all have that moment of weakness, let's call it that, and do things that are self-sabotaging. Can you explain a little bit about why we do that? Because I'm sure on a conscious level, we know it's not good. Why do we still do it?
Usually self-sabotage is linked to emotional eating or feeling of less, being less than or not being enough. Self-worth, self-acceptance, self-love plays a huge role. The moment where you look at yourself, your whole being, and you're not accepting some parts of yourself. So we're talking about self-acceptance here. If you're not accepting some parts of you want to remove them. And you think by saying, I don't like this about me. I don't like it. I don't accept it. I cannot be like that. A lot of people think that this is going to motivate them to change. It's not. It's going to create actually quite the opposite. You don't want to deal with it. So we usually self-sabotage. We have this image in our heads, who we are and how we should, you know, look like and who we should be. But there are parts of us that don't fit in this image. Right? So what do we do then? We can accept them. all these different parts of us and work on them to improve them. But a lot of people choose to say, I don't want to deal with it. You know, I'm not worthy. These are bad parts of me. I can accept looking like this. And so when the trigger comes after some random day, and let's say that they start eating whatever they start eating, they're like, you see, I told you. This is the part of me that is not good. And now I'm going to prove to you that it's not good. There is no acceptance that it can be improved. It just stays in that corner as, you know, something which is, let's say, a part of you that you don't want to deal with it. And it's, if you think about it, all the things in your life that you don't like, you don't deal with them. So why would you deal with some part of you that you don't like?
Yeah. And also I find that, you know, in talking to some of my clients or even people in my, you know, in my social circle, it's quite easy for people to put, you know, this model of health on too high a pedestal.
Right.
Then it becomes too impossible. And then again, they will just say that I will never be able to do that.
Yeah.
That's too far away from where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, you know, then gets very frustrating and discouraging. When we talked about the all or nothing mentality, one thing that came to mind was the different ways people are eating.
Right.
Right. Including very restrictive diets or even things like people choosing to be, you know, I questioned someone the other day, why are we calling things vegan or carnivore? What happened to omnivores, who most people are, right? There's actually very few people who can physically deal with like a fully carnivorous diet, right?
Right.
And I find this to be sometimes a blocker for a lot of people in terms of assigning this very strict identity of this is what I eat and this places this value on me.
Right.
Why is it that we always feel like we need to explain or justify to other people how we eat and how we live our lives?
That's a big one. Well, first of all, there is this, you do identify yourself. Your body is the body that you live in. It's not somehow detached from you. And the foods that you eat, they are a part of you. So I would say that I don't find it so strange that you identify as a vegan or a paleo or a carnivore or whatever you do it. However, the camps that have been created, especially online, that you are more worthy if you are plant-based, that you're less worthy if you are, you know, carnivore or whatever, it's starting to actually affect that person, how they view themselves. I would say that it's almost like, you know, for what team you're cheering on, except that now we're talking about food choices and food preferences. It's very, it's, I would say that, for example, in my case, I am not plant-based. I don't eat so much meat, but I'm not plant-based. And I still feel that I need to explain my choices to people who are actually eating a worse diet than me. I never have to explain it to a person who is eating relatively healthy. You know, just like maybe we differ on certain things because I like this and they like that. But usually the people who are trying to sabotage my way of eating, the healthy eating, let's say, I need to explain why I don't want to have four slices of pizza tonight. And it comes from, it doesn't come actually from me, it comes from them. They know deep down, this is not serving them. But company loves misery. So now let's attack the one person, you know, who is managing their diet in a healthy way. And then you are, you know, labeled as a health freak or something like that. But the point is, this is not so much about you. Because they have nothing to justify. What are they justifying? You know, eating pizza. There is nothing to justify. You have to justify why you are not eating it. Like, what's wrong with you? Why would you have rather, you know, fish and vegetables or whatever? So I would say that, and I have felt it so many times in my own life, that I would have to even go to some deep explanation. When I eat this food, this is how I feel. And then, and I found it's very, I mean, I found it ridiculous, actually. So I just stopped doing it. So like, this food doesn't serve me. I don't want to eat it. And that's where that kind of ends. But I do feel that people justify a lot what they eat lately, because there are so many camps and so many diets and so many influencers and books out there, and you are identifying with a way of eating as one of your core beliefs. So you're justifying, you know, like anything else, your religion, your beliefs about whatever, you know, else that you enjoy doing. So this is also one way. And they can be, I mean, these camps can be aggressive towards one another, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
They need a better PR if they want people to go on board with their way of eating, because you feel less than. Mm-hmm. And then you have to explain yourself, you know, how can you eat, you know, meat? And then you have to say, okay, I eat meat because of this, 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 and this. And this is the kind of meat that I eat, which is actually ridiculous that you have to explain yourself. But it either comes from other people's insecurities and fears, or it comes because they really are aware that the way they are eating is not serving them. So they want to put you in the same camp, you know? Let's all be equal. Let's all eat junk, for example, you know?
And again, you know, of course, to remind all our listeners, any of these dietary preferences, there is always a healthy way of doing it and an unhealthy way of doing
it. I mean, I don't care if you're vegan, if you're eating gummy bears all day, you know, vegan gummy bears and organic candy bars, or if you're eating vegan burgers full of canola oil, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That have, you know, 17 ingredients. Like, I have nothing against vegans. I have nothing against carnivores, omnivores, paleo, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I would say whatever diet you choose to follow, just try to find the good ingredients, you know, whole foods in it. And this is why sometimes it's just the label that bothers me.
Yeah.
Because I am not sure, let's say if we talk about plant-based thing, which I really like, and I enjoy so many foods that fall in the plant-based category, but there is also so much processed foods that is plant-based. So that really doesn't make you a healthy eater if this is what you're eating. So, you know, we should be careful with labeling, but even if we do label, then okay, at least let's see what is really your menu. You know, what are you really eating?
Yeah, it's just about being smarter consumers, right?
Absolutely.
Because you have a lot of products that will say, you know, good for gut health, lots of fiber, there's multi-grain probiotics, but then you read there's like 20 grams of sugar in it.
Yes, yes.
That completely then defeats all of the purposes it just said.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for explaining all of that. I hope all of our listeners will gain a lot from this, because it's so easy, like you said at the beginning, right, to just focus on the strategies,
right?
The what, the how,
instead
of the why, right? And the deeper kind of inside journey that you have to be on to be ready to get healthy. Before we finish, I would like to invite you to give our listeners three actionable tips in terms of how to have a healthier psyche when it comes to diets and our general health.
Since we spoke about mindset, I would say the first one is, if you're starting, let's say, a health journey, you want to get leaner, healthier, lose some weight, I really encourage the why. The why is very important. That's going to be your guiding star. Why do you want to lose weight? What's behind it? Be very clear on your why, and you always come back to your why. Because as we said, the progress is not always linear. So if you have a setback, but you know why you're doing this, to improve your health, your biomarkers, your blood sugar, your insulin resistance, whatever, know your why. Write it down as a vision board and come back to it. Second tip is the mentality that it will be all linear. I would say that that's very important to understand, because you will have setbacks because you have a life to live. Like, you're not living in a bubble, you know, excluded from the world, without temptations, without, you know, some occasional, you know, well, now maybe during COVID we go out less, but still we have celebrations and birthdays and things like that. So there will be some situations where you cannot really follow the plan, and that's okay. And the third one, I would say, understand what are the realistic goals. And what I mean by realistic goals is not, oh, how much weight can I lose in a month? Realistic goals is how will I eat so that I can incorporate all the foods that I want to eat. So that I will, you know, try to eat 80% of the time clean or whole foods, and then 20% of the time it's fun. It's self-love that we spoke about. It's occasional treats with family. It's going out, so on and so forth. Don't be rigid with your eating or fitness plan, because it will not stick. No matter how much self-discipline you have, it will not stick. So I would say those three.
Yeah, because we all have our seasons, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we all do. I do. It's all fine.
Yeah. So my last question for you, which is always my favorite question for my guests.
Okay.
What is the one food that takes you to your happy place every time?
Well, I will just tell you one thing. I'm an expat for 30 years. So I'm originally from Serbia. So my happy place is home with my parents. And the food that really would bring me back home is homemade bread with nuts and seeds, you know, with some nice spread on it. But it has to be homemade by my parents, and that will be it. I'm weak with the bread. I mean, so yeah, that will be it.
And that's it for this episode of Neighborhood Nutritionist. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you've really enjoyed it and learned something you can take away with you today. If you could take a second to share this episode with one person you think will love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening now. See you soon!